Welcome to CADcast. I'm your host, Nick Sweeney, and I've taken a couple of weeks off from posting, partly because about 2-3 weeks ago, I went to publish this episode that you're about to listen to right here, and then we got some news, and I had no idea what I wanted to say, so I have been trying to figure all of that out. In short, if you haven't heard, CATI is now part of the Go Engineer family. Now, I don't know exactly what that means for the podcast yet. I hope it means we can keep doing this. And my assumption will be that we will continue to publish the podcast and we'll keep going with this. But another thing that it kind of impacted was I had started recording a series of podcasts, today being the first one of that series, that celebrates the 30-year anniversary of CATI. September is 30 years of CATI. And we wanted to talk about some of the different products and where we've been and where we're going. Well, it's tough to do a 30-year celebration of CATI when 30 years is also the end of CATI. Not all of us, like, we're still here. We're just Go Engineer now. So that means that we are now a national brand. We're in like 46 states or something like that. We've got people all over the country. It's very, very exciting, and it's really great for the customer base. And it's great for us as well, and anybody that uses SOLIDWORKS and the 3D Experience platform. But I don't have all of the answers, and I'm hoping I can give us all an update here, not this episode, but maybe the next episode or the following one after that. But I decided this is still good content, and it's still stuff that I'd like you all to hear, even if it's not really a 30-year celebration of CATI. It's now just a celebration of CATI and what we've done over our 30 years, and then kind of looking forward. So with that said, today is that first episode, and it's Corey Kubetschka joined the show, and we're going to be talking about SOLIDWORKS Electrical, and specifically just like electrical schematics and how all of that has changed over the last 30 years. Corey actually started doing demos of SOLIDWORKS and of different softwares back when you had to like lug stuff around the country. So it's kind of fun to hear some of his stories and what he thinks is kind of like impeding people from adopting things like this. There's a lot of really great insight. Had some laughs about how you pronounce his last name. It was his joke. He made it to me first. So when you hear me say it here in a little bit, just know it was not something that I came up with on the spot. So with that, I'll have more about the whole Go Engineer situation, what's going on there, hopefully coming up in the next episode. But for now, enjoy my discussion with Corey Kubetschka. All right, joining me this week is our application engineer manager for SOLIDWORKS Electrical, our electrical product manager. And I apologize, he told me I have to swear in the middle of his last name, so I'm going to. Corey Kubetschka. Corey, welcome to the podcast with the greatest last name of anybody that I've spoken to on this show by far.
Well, at least it isn't the longest one, but I've been called many times. I've been called many things. So.
Yeah, I think Bob probably has the longest last name of anybody I've talked to so far, but yours is the most fun to say by a long shot. So, Corey, thank you so much for joining me and kind of the premise of the show. And I know you and I have kind of talked about it already, but we just kind of want to talk about 30 years of SOLIDWORKS Electrical. And I know SOLIDWORKS Electrical is actually kind of like a newer thing, newer relative to like 30 years. So maybe it won't be an entirely SOLIDWORKS Electrical based show. So with that in mind, I have to ask you the question, what was your very first version of SOLIDWORKS?
First version I used was 1998. And funny enough, I was actually taught by CATI when I was working with a different company at the time.
It's pretty cool that it's come full circle. Like it has. You went from learning CATI's ways because you were the customer base, and now you're out there showing people the way and the best thing to do.
Yeah, we used a pro engineer. I worked for PTC, and then we parted ways and started with industry, and they wanted to use this radical startup called SOLIDWORKS on Windows NT.
Yeah. Windows NT. I've got an old Windows 98 laptop. It's sitting in my bedroom back at my parents' house, but I have one of those and I'm kind of curious, like, could I run like SOLIDWORKS 95 on there? And I have no idea. I bet not.
I couldn't tell you.
But what you can tell me, so Corey, you said that you used to work for PTC and you mentioned to me that you used to carry on a bag phone. So like you're not necessarily new to the CATI, SOLIDWORKS industry whatsoever. like you used to go around and do these software implementations. You've been doing them for a long time to the point where like you had a bag phone in your car as you were doing these things.
Yeah. So we would service customers when PTC would release software, it was out on DAT tapes. So we would carry around a DAT tape and go off to various Unix workstations, load the tape and update the software or reload software. And, you know, you could be out for quite a while. And a lot of times communication was key. There was no email. There was no anything but payphone or call somebody from the desk. And having a bag phone made everything a lot easier. It definitely speed us up a little bit.
So you've mentioned to me just kind of in our past conversations, like, yeah, you remember these old things about like doing software demos and SolidWorks and dragging around giant stations place to place because, like, you know, right now we're talking on Teams. And whenever we do a software demo for a customer, like I could demo for a customer in Oregon in 45 minutes if I wanted to, and I'm sitting in Ohio. That's not really possible in the 90s. Do you have any really fun stories or anything that like really sticks out from demoing software for as long as you've been doing it? Just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I had to do this, or just something that was really funny to look back on.
I always laugh when I travel on an airplane and I always think back to my early days. You know, we traveled to a computer to demo. I mean, we had computers pre-positioned in certain areas of the country and we flew guys to machines to demo off of. And I just remember email in its early stages, and you had a laptop. You know, we got that far advanced, but everybody was in a mad rush to get to the payphones to do your dial in on your modem and check your email because, you know, something might have changed in the 2-hour trip that you had on the airplane. And I always think back and laugh. You know, all my business trips, I was one of those guys. You know, I was just like, oh my God, I got to get off this plane. And, you know, you got to be getting going. And now I just kind of sit back and I'm just like, nope, don't need to worry about rushing off the plane anymore. So that's always a chuckle I have when I travel or see that type of scenario.
You know, I always wonder why people rush off of these airplanes. I've always wondered, why do you do that? Because now you're getting hit by people that are pulling stuff out from under the seats or out from the overhead bins. Like, people are rushing off. And now I understand why. These are people that are thinking, oh, I got to go check my email. And then they get off the plane. They go, oh, yeah. And then they pull out their cell phone and check it on there.
Or they just want to get off the plane, you know, they're claustrophobic or something. Or you sat next to a guy with a garlic breath, you know, just there's any number of occasions why you want to get off a plane.
That's very true. Though, let's all be thankful that at least I've never been on a plane that when they served food, they served garlic anything. So that is kind of nice.
But they don't serve anymore. Heck, I used to fly an airline that would feed you on a set of silverware, a glass plate and glass and everything.
What airline's that? I got to check out those airlines.
Midwest Express it was. It flew out of Milwaukee. It was kind of a regional carrier. And they would always, in the afternoon, they would bake fresh cookies as their like claim to fame and throw you a baked cookie. Yeah, they'd start cooking those bad boys right away when they get the plane ready for takeoff.
And then they'd throw you the greatest smelling airplane ever.
It was actually quite nice. It was different times, you know?
I'm sad I missed that. That would have been awesome. But speaking of different times, I guess we can kind of talk a little bit about SolidWorks Electrical and really just the electrical side of 3D design. Because the funny thing about SolidWorks is that despite the fact that a lot of things are now designed in 3D, I've seen giant upfitted trucks designed in SolidWorks. I've seen airplanes designed using tools at least related to SolidWorks. The funny thing is that so many customers that I go to, so many people that I talk to, electrical is one of those things that has not become 3D. And I think that's kind of funny because like electrical and PCB and the schematic side of things, that all was kind of brought into SolidWorks in like 2012 or something like that. But even though we're 10 years into that and, you know, a lot of industries are using SolidWorks, like electrical's still kind of, I won't say behind the times, but it's kind of stuck in the, we're going to keep this at 2D. And I kind of wanted to just get your thoughts on that. And like, you know, why do we do that? What's kind of the rationale behind it from your perspective?
I think what you see is a lot of the status quo works, but why change it? And the status quo for electric is a lot of different things. I mean, it's very industry siloed. So if you're talking to someone who panel builds, you know, you're going to put your components in your panel, put it to the back plane, throw it in the panel, and then you're going to start maybe wiring, or maybe you wire the back plane before you ever put it in the panel. And a lot of those guys are very tribal knowledge. You know, they have certain ways how they wire a panel, and there was nothing previous to SOLIDWORKS Electrical or routing in 3D for anybody to physically mock up how something would be at the end of the day. So these guys just, they know how to do it. They can do it in their sleep. And, you know, you have these old guys that are mocking up panels or routing the wires, and they do it so quick. You know, these days there's, you know, COMAX wire pullers and things like that, that automatically spit out your wires trimmed and everything, the length you need. It speeds up the process, but you're still hand wiring everything up. So a lot of folks don't necessarily see a huge need to say, well, why do I want to mock this up virtually? You know, where's the cost benefit? So the status quo kind of wins the day a little bit. When you get into like bigger things where you're talking harnesses or aircrafts, vehicles design and things like that, then you're working with structures, trying to pass through certain areas. There's only certain areas you can go with wires and things like that. So it almost becomes prohibitive with all the different restrictions that you have. But try to pigeonhole, okay, I can route, but I can only go here. I can't do this. My benders, I got to go through this pass through. I got this grommet, all this stuff. So it becomes a little bit of a pain in the butt factor to try and walk through all that and do that. So again, the status quo is, well, I can do a mock-up or I can do a pegboard and I can wire up my harness and then just take it to the plane and install it. It works much easier. So that's kind of why you see a huge adoption in the 3D world yet.
So obviously I wouldn't have you on if I didn't know the answer to this question, but I have to ask it anyway. Going to 3D, there's certainly a lot of really good benefits to actually wiring stuff up and creating these boards and all this stuff. There's obviously really good benefit to doing that in a tool like SOLIDWORKS Electrical, or I guess as it used to be known, Trace Electworks or WireWorks 3D, just all these old school tools. There's obviously a lot of benefits to it, but that adoption phase is, it's just slower because, well, we've always done it this way. Isn't that kind of how everything is with engineers, it seems?
Yeah, hands down. Even the schematic tool that we've enjoyed tremendous success with, just the schematic tool, and it's really, you know, taken off more and more every couple of months that we look back, and it's the same thing there. You know, they had guys that used Visio, they used 2D tools, they drew stuff in drawings. I mean, I've had folks show me schematics they've drew in SOLIDWORKS drawing package, and it worked for them. And why upset the apple cart? Why bother trying to do something new? But then you start showing them different things or collaborative design, you know, ways to improve automatic reporting and things, then they kind of catch on. So, you know, the 3D, when you get to the 3D benefits, I mean, it's all the same things that you would expect from doing something in 3D, right? You have wires. It takes up a physical space. Does it bend a certain way? Can it bend around a certain corner in a machine? You know, if I have five or six of these cables or wire bundles, does it fit through a certain opening? Those are the things, you know. Then you can even get further, take it to the levels of, okay, now I've got all these physical wires in there. Is it hot? Do I need a fan? Or if I do have a fan, do wiring block airflows, things like that? So there is benefits there, but it just depends on how far the customer wants to go or see the benefit. You know, some customers do one-off designs and they're doing different things one or two times, it's not maybe going to get benefit them, but maybe they have a design that is standardized and they want to get it, you know, really good so that they can cookie cutter repeat it. Well, then it takes time to maybe look at some of this stuff and get it really dialed in, right? So just levels of detail that each customer needs.
The validation stuff, I hadn't really thought about that because, you know, I'm thinking about the entire SOLIDWORKS suite and I think about, oh, well, I'll make a design and then I'll run SOLIDWORKS simulation on it. But I guess, and it's just kind of stupid of me not to think about it, but yeah. Wires get hot, capacitors get hot. All of this stuff that we put into a circuit board or into anything, they get very, very hot. I guess I hadn't thought about the fact that, like, in a 2D schematic, if I'm using DraftSight, because that's going to be my ideal 2D tool here, subtle, not at all subtle plug to use DraftSight instead of a different 2D drawing tool. If I'm drawing in 2D or if I'm literally sketching with my hand, I am never going to understand how hot's this wire going to get. What kind of cooling do I need to make sure that I don't fry the motherboard as soon as I flip the thing on? Mm-hmm. I guess I hadn't thought about that.
Or the individual components inside of a panel. So like we have a customer, you know, those big green power distribution blocks that you see sometimes in parking lots or on the corners of parking lots.
Yeah.
Right. So you think about that, you know, you put them together and you throw it in a parking lot. Well, there's usually not a tree in a parking lot. And so those things get baked in the sun, and then all your different components add in internal heat. So sure, if you've got plastic or if you have heat sensitive content, you know, you could be looking at some fun there.
Well, fun for people to watch. Fun for the fireworks show, but not so much for the people that designed it.
And then you try and throw water on it. Oops.
Ooh, don't do that. Yeah, then the fireworks get better.
Yeah, well.
So when you're demoing this, and I guess, so you came into CATI in 2012, right?
Yeah.
So of the last 10 years, and I guess kind of like right now, what is your favorite thing to show somebody? Of like, you know, you didn't used to be able to do this. This is how far the old school tools have come and the old school methods have come. What is your favorite thing to show somebody that kind of gets them go, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Or it gets that wow factor out of it. What's your favorite thing to show off?
I think there's two things that I really have as my go-to, like, ooh, I want to have somebody ooing and on in a demo is automatic report building. You know, so many times, you know, I put together a schematic and then you have to go back and look, okay, I got my transformer part number XYZ. There's my breaker. Okay, I need fuse. Here's, you know, you're just starting to copy transpose off of what you just designed in the schematic. And to actually just show a customer, hey, you just did that. Instead of transposing it, go hit this report manager and look at this report and oh, there's all your parts. I mean, that's stunning right there. To have that just right in front of my face, I didn't have to do anything other than hit a button to say, look at my report manager and look at my bill of material. And there it is. Everything done for me.
Automation grand.
Yeah. And I didn't write any part numbers down. I didn't make any mistakes, no transposition errors. It was great. Mm-hmm. That would be my one for on the 2D side. And then taking it to the next level, just to show folks, just, you know, like you say, they don't always like the 3D, but they definitely have a need for the 2D. So just to show them, hey, down the road, you know, 6 months, 6 weeks, wherever it is, you can get to this point, and to show them how to wire something, or just show them that, hey, you built the schematic here. You can just drop it into 3D. There's smart mates, so you don't have to be an expert on SOLIDWORKS. You can just drop it on a DIN rail. It pops in where it needs to be. And then you hit a button that says route wires, and out comes the magic of it automatically routing your wires because from two is already done in the schematic. It's kind of a, oh yeah, that's where we could take this to the next level, right?
Yeah.
You start seeing the light bulbs dawn and they're like, hey, we can get schematic. We can get really good at our design, get a handle on our documentation. Then we could take it to the next level and really optimize designs or see how this is going to go together. Do we have issues? Is the panel guy going to come back at me and start screaming in my ear because I'm trying to put 10 pounds of things in a 5 pound box? You know, those are the things that are really taking things up a notch.
I mean, you're speaking my language. It's, hey, let's automate stuff. Let's make the process as simple and as foolproof as possible. The idea that I can click a button and all of the hard work is done for me, because all I had to do is say, hey, start here, end here. And I hit go and SOLIDWORKS goes, oh, well, then here must be the best way to do this. Oh, my gosh, that is so powerful, because, I mean,
yep.
Then your designs are really consistent, too.
Yeah. And I take a page from commercial. There's an easy button in SOLIDWORKS Electrical that automatically takes that content and creates drawings for you. So you can hit the draw command and it actually takes content, like say the bill of material, and throws it on a page. So you don't even have to create the page. You just look at a report, say, hey, that looks good, hit draw, and bang, it creates, you know, 6 or 7 pages of bill of material for you. All done. So
even though the status quo is easy, the status quo doesn't have an easy button.
No.
And having that easy button, I don't know why you would reconsider, because for the listeners at Corey, I think you know this. I'm not necessarily somebody that is overly familiar with Software Touch, but like I am learning a lot of this stuff as this recording is happening. But I have never ceased to be amazed to say, like, wait, we used to do things how? Like, we used to carry around bag phones, like phones in bags, which I know most people, a lot of people carry them around in their purses now. That's fine, but that's definitely not a bag phone. And we used to still, in a lot of cases, draw schematics with our hand on a desk with a piece of paper versus I can say start here, end here, easy button, done, and get my bill of material and get a drawing made up for me in three clicks. Why would I not do that?
I don't know, but you know, and then some customers too, and they still do this, is they actually have, you have a product, you have a harness, or you have something already done, but you need to take it to the next level. Maybe it's 5 years old or 10 years old. You kind of take that off your design and you redesign it by just taking and reworking it backwards. Right. So you've got the different connections where they're going to be and you just re-engineer it. Instead of actually starting from scratch, you just take what you had and then reverse engineer all the different wire lengths, all the different, you know, splices or connectors or whatnot. Update what you need to do, and then you go back. And then sometimes you redo a drawing to catch up what you just did. Mm-hmm. Not always documented. So having an easy tool, it's going to make your life a lot easier down the road.
Now, one thing that I naturally want to know if we can do it, and you've already told me that, no, not now, but like the holy grail of this would be I get two people that are now working on a component together, or they're wiring something up, or they're working in schematic. And I think this kind of leads into the second part of the discussion, which is, you know, where have we come from in the last 30 years? 2D sketching to an easy button, or 2D sketching by hand to an easy button. And then there are people that are still doing it. But over the next 30 years, we can't do it yet. But Corey, how significant would it be to be able to say, you and me are working on a project together and we're both wiring something up simultaneously using I don't know the actual title of it, but using the electrical tool inside of the 3D experience platform or something.
Sure.
How powerful would that be?
That would be a significant improvement. So on the desktop, as we are today, you can actually collaborate. So you and I could work on a design where you and I are working in a panel. You could work on certain pages. I could work on my own pages and we could be working together. And then we could have a third party be working off on the 3D side. We can only have one person in the 3D, and then any number of us can be working on our own pages in the same project. So that's we can do that today. Now on the platform, we're a little bit more limited, but if you think about it, you know, if 10 years down the road, because workers are going to be, we're going to be all interspersed, right? Nobody's going to be sitting next to each other probably in the future. We're going to be where we're going to be. So having a platform allowing us to be able to do that same collaboration, yet be physically different cities, different countries, geography wise, wherever it might be, that's like you say, the holy grail, that type of collaboration, that's going to change a lot.
Not just from an efficiency standpoint, of course it's going to be more efficient to have two people doing very similar or two people doing their tasks together instead of in serial. Like there's a reason that things are done in parallel in a lot of cases. But just from a practical standpoint, like if two people are working on something together, they might run into a potential problem and they might go, wait, I can't do it that way. Hey, you're doing this, but that can't happen. Instead of having to go that back and forth where I send an email, but we're in different time zones. So you're at lunch. So now I have to wait an hour. It doesn't really work out that way. Instead, it can be, hey, we're both working on this. Maybe we jump on a call like this and we're working simultaneously. And now we're talking, even though we are in different places.
You know, how many times have you actually looked at something and caught your own mistake, but maybe somebody else has, right? You're kind of predisposition to not catching your own mistake, but somebody else kind of working side by side might catch it for you. So, I mean, there's huge benefits.
I mean, I edit a lot of our blog posts and it's amazing. You can read your own blog post four times. It's perfect. And then somebody else opens it up and the third word is misspelled. And they go, how do you miss that? You misspelled SolidWorks. You wrote Goldilocks.
Yep. You hit the nail on the head right there. You know, and if you're talking about a 4-page or even a 40-page schematic with multiple pieces of content, you know, 40 different components or 30 different components spread across 3 or 4 pages, the increased accuracy would definitely be a welcome addition.
I think the other welcome addition, and we'll kind of get out of here on this one, but the ability to do more with less. That was something that you said that SolidWorks Electrical has really enabled over the last 10 years or so since the tool really started to go more mainstream. But it's also something that we're going to see going forward, a lot of that. Just SolidWorks alone has enabled us to... I think it's hilarious that in the engineering world, we go from we create this 3D design inside of SolidWorks to then a 2D drawing to then give to our manufacturers to then make that 2D design into a 3D model. And Jay, Brian, and I had a whole conversation about that, about like why SolidWorks drawings or just SolidWorks, why drawings in general are kind of, you know, I don't understand the point of them in a lot of cases. But having these tools does enable you to do more with less. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is probably the most powerful thing that we're going to see is just like people are scared of automation, I think. And Corey, I don't know if you agree with that, but a lot of people seem like, well, if we automate something, what happens to that person's job? In my opinion, that person then becomes in charge of automating things because, you know, if I'm running this machine, well, that's just as efficient as if I'm doing this by hand. In fact, the machine's be more efficient, but someone's got to make sure that machine runs properly.
Yeah, I think that's the case, but I'll kind of, you know, poke fun at you a little bit. You know, we were joking around with our ages earlier. I think for somebody myself, you know, the times that we've gone through in our early years as careers and stuff, we did see a lot of, okay, automation is great, but it cut headcount or it changed people's jobs. So, you know, some of us have a kind of a filter or an experience that, oh, you know, automation does, you know, that might affect somebody down the road. Now, in defense, automation will make you faster and maybe allow you to do more with less. Or, you know, everybody's so busy sometimes that everybody wants to hire more people. Well, if you can automate or get some of that content done easier, faster, well, then that eases your load. So there's multiple ways to look at that. You know, we've actually got a customer that's starting to take that to the next levels where they do a schematic harness, they do a design of it, they take the harness to 3D, and instead of creating documentation or drawings of that harness, they literally give the 3D to the harness maker. You know, here you go, go make it. There's no drawing, there's no extra step of detailing and trying to get the deep drawing just right. Drawing checkers, all that stuff. You kind of cut out a little bit of that documentation loop and just hand off the 3D. You're starting to see that here and there. Oh,
that is beautiful.
It is on the horizon. It's not too far away, but it's getting there.
I love it. The idea of like, hey, this is already in 3D. Let's keep it that way. It's easier to do that because it gets rid of the, all right, now I got to make a drawing. Now I got to make sure my balloons are right. Oh, I can't get this balloon to work. Okay. Go grab a balloon. Let's number this manually. Then I got to go change the auto numbering. It's just like, it's an extra step that if we're using tools like SolidWorks Electrical, if we're using SolidWorks MBD or just SolidWorks and a 3D design tool, we can skip that step. And it gets rid of a lot of headaches in a lot of cases too. But
yeah, wasn't that the apple of the, or the pie in the sky way back in the day? You know, you do away with drawings. You've got everything in 3D. You can take a 3D model and send it over to the CAM. You know, they'll machine it out or they'll create a mold for it. You know, wasn't that like the ultimate pie in the sky goal? Just get rid of drawings itself.
I mean, it's funny that was the pie in the sky goal. And like, we can do that.
Now we can get there.
We absolutely can.
Yep.
But Corey, this has been a fantastic conversation, and I am excited to see more about SolidWorks Electrical and what we can do with it, how it continues to grow as well as evolve. Because, you know, we've seen the entire world change a whole lot just in the last 2 years, let alone the last 30. Being able to see customers scale and those people that, you know, they were early adopters of SolidWorks and where they are now, it's kind of incredible to see it. And you've been along for the ride throughout a lot of it, and I certainly appreciate you coming on, sharing some of your stories and some of your insight. I'm definitely going to be telling more people about Solid State Electrical now, because it's not a tool that I was overly familiar with, but I definitely should be.
Yeah. I think the one question anybody could ask is, do you do anything electrical inside of your design? And I bet you 9 times out of 10, somebody will say, yeah, they do. Everything is electrical these days.
And if you do, if that answer is yes, but you are not using Solid State Electrical, call up Corey and say, hey, you were talking about this really cool easy button. Can you kind of show me how that works? Because Corey, I'm sure you'd be happy to show it off.
Yep. Somebody would definitely be lined up and willing to show you.
All right, guys. Well, that's all I've got for this week. That was Corey Kubichka. Sorry for swearing in the middle of his name once again, but I had to. Our product manager for Solid State Electrical. Again, Corey, thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was more fun than I thought it would be as well. So look forward to the next time.
Thanks. I'm glad. Oh yeah, we'll have you on again. That way we can kind of dive more into the nuances. But that's all I've got for this week. So I will talk to you guys later. See you.